Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. My colleague and co-host Bill Rajov, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracies, keeping the Long War Journal. And we're very pleased to welcome Jonathan Saya, who files routinely at the Long War Journal, watching especially Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Most recently, this story, which is twist within twist. Afghans in Iran have significant national security implications for the Tehran regime. John, a very good evening to you. This is so many turns of the phrase here, it's beyond irony. The Afghans, we presume, fled at some point in these last years or have cross-border relations with Iran. But the understanding you give us to is that Tehran regime, especially those around the leadership, are now suspecting that the Afghans are helping Israel. Did I follow it correctly, John? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, you absolutely did. So the angle to look at this is that the Islamic Republic views Afghans from a national security lens. So, of course, on the front line of that is the accusation against Afghan migrants that they've colluded with Israel. Of course, now that is debatable because the Islamic Republic has very rigorous vetting policies in place, and it ensures that most people that are in place oftentimes are in fact are Iranians and don't have many ties to foreign adversary groups. So in this context, it's debatable whether the average Afghan migrant that has fled war and has came to Iran has access to significant resources or very sensitive information for them to be recruited by the Mossad.
And the Mossad has a tradition or reputation of dealing with the Taliban. This is all news to me. Does the Mossad have a presence in Afghanistan at any point in the recent histories?
That has always been the Iranian allegation against Israel. But then again, the Islamic Republic is very quick to label anything, quote-unquote, Zionist-affiliated as soon as it feels threatened by it. So Iranians have claimed that it's actually Israel that's funding ISIS, ISKP in Afghanistan. Again, they've never produced any meaningful proof of these claims, but that has been the allegation so far. But from a strategic standpoint, it's unlikely whether Israel had any ties to Afghans from Afghanistan. The accusation here is that so many of these Afghan fighters that were recruited by Iran to fight in Syria were able to be recruited by Israel, and then when they later entered Iran, they acted on behalf of Israel. But Iran is claiming that these people did not know they're working on behalf of Mossad. They were basically framed to build drones during the 12-day war to attack Iranian targets.
My head is spinning. Bill, you have a question for John.
Hello, John. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's less likely that the Afghans who are coming in, you know, particularly after the collapse of the Afghan government and the takeover by the Taliban, it's just not likely that they were a vibrant source of for the Mossad to conduct intelligence. Who do the Israelis typically lean on for conducting operations inside of Iran?
What we've seen so far is the pattern of Israel exploiting the existing rivalries between different institutions of the Islamic Republic. So, for example, what we saw when Israelis targeted Ismail Haniyeh, the former Hamas political chief in Tehran during the inauguration of the president, they were able to play the competition that was between the Islamic Republic's, the IRGC's intelligence organization and the Ministry of Intelligence. So there are different institutions within the regime that have overlapping responsibilities, but ultimately seek to fulfill the same agenda. And the Mossad is very good with exploiting these divisions, as I mentioned. So oftentimes they do recruit just former Iranian military officials or current military officials. There was a leaked report came out a couple of days ago claiming that most of the people that Israel had on the ground during the 12-day war were Iranian dissidents, and some were from neighboring countries. So there might be some Afghans there, we don't know. But what is very likely is that for these operations to have been carried out during the 12-day war, precision-guided assassinations that were specifically able to target one apartment within the complex, that level of precision indicates that they had local sources on the ground, primarily Iranians, and they were not probably Iranian dissidents or civic activists. These people had to be military trained. So I have to assume they were probably former IRGC or military.
Reaching back to my memory of the early days of the Afghanistan conflict, this is the first decade of this century. Bill and I were together in those moments. I recall Herat, the city, a dominant city in the northwest of Afghanistan, being run by a strong man who was quite distant from the organization in Kabul, even under the Taliban. And Herat was part of, this is the great game, Britain, Russia, India, playing it out over many decades in the 19th century, updating the 21st. I remember that the relationship with Iran was fluid. I recall that at the time. A lot of semi-precious gem trading going back and forth, a lot of resources, food. In other words, the border was not open, but there were people making money. Is that still true today under the Taliban, John?
At the time, like you mentioned, it was true. Looking at it from an influence angle, ultimately, Iran does have exports to Afghanistan. In addition to cars, they export electricity and energy. And in return, they've, of course, imported minerals, like you mentioned. But since the Taliban takeover, because of the national security implications relating to ISIS, Iran has increasingly, under the current administration, Pezeshkian, has sought to strengthen the border. Now, what's funny is that current officials now in the Islamic Republic are blaming the former president, Raisi, who died in the helicopter crash, saying that his policy of opening the border, which was the case at the time, is what led to the current security implications. So from the Islamic Republic perspective, Iran is in a population decline. And they have concerns over the ideological leaning of the younger generation. So there were some accusations saying they're trying to import local Shias to Iran to, one, ensure ideological alignment and for the population issue. So there were claims, again, not confirmed, that Iran was trying to bring Iraqi Shias and Afghan Shias into the country. Now, after the 12-day war, they perhaps are recalculating that strategy.
Are Iranians living in Herat? Do they cross border and intermarry, that sort of thing?
Less and less. There's a significant cultural overlap, of course, between Iranians and Afghans. But when it comes down to it, you don't see that often, because primarily the Afghans that do cross the border into Iran are usually young men seeking work, things as such. So because of that, you don't see that many. You don't see many families coming in. Recently, historically, you have. So when we talk about I think Iran has now officially deported about 1 million or 1.5 million Afghans. Many of these are families because they came in years ago. But with the recent wave post-Taliban takeover, it was mostly young men, as was the same trend in Europe with Syrians, Iraqis, and Afghans.
Bill, you have a question for John.
Yes, you mentioned, you wrote that Iran has deported 1.4 million Afghans over the past year. This certainly would be a strain on the Taliban regime. How has this impacted relations between the Taliban and the Iranian government?
For the most part, from a Taliban perspective, their main concern were the Fatemiyun Brigade, which was made up of Afghan fighters who were Shia that fought on behalf of Iran and Syria. And probably what happened afterwards is that the Taliban and Iran had sort of an agreement, perhaps a non-interference agreement, meaning we're not gonna get involved in your internal dynamics in Afghanistan the same way we do in Iraq, for example. And in return, you guys ensure that ISIS is not going to be attacked on our borders. And probably what the Taliban requested is for Iran not to leverage these former fighters that fought in Syria against the Afghan Taliban. Interestingly enough, the main obstacle that's preventing the Islamic Republic and the Taliban to have better relations is the issue of water. I know we've talked about this in the past, but there are a couple of rivers that flow from Afghanistan into Iran, and the Taliban is increasingly building dams, and it's drying up the neighboring cities in Iran. And that has been the main source of friction between the two countries, oddly enough, and less so migration, to my surprise.
Jonathan Saya of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy is filing in the Long War Journal about Iran. The big story of the suspect nuclear weapons program when we come back. Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.